This is Steve Braswell, and welcome to my special pre-Thanksgiving Day podcast today. Yes, Thanksgiving is coming up this Thursday, one of my very favorite times of the year. There are lots of holidays that we can change into things they were never meant for, but if you just think about the concept of Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, it's hard to change that into something that is not very good for you. So, giving thanks to God. Our scripture today is Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. So listen to God's word. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, this is an ancient psalm. We don't know exactly when it was written, but it's at least several centuries old. But here, as we face an upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, we hear it each year in a brand new light. We are his sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. We're invited to enter his gates with thanksgiving because of his constant goodness, love, and faithfulness through all generations, from the time the psalm was written to today and indeed for all time. As far as the American holiday of Thanksgiving goes, it has an old history too, not as old as this psalm, but still an old history. We can look back to 1621 when the Pilgrims had a large autumn feast with the Native Americans. It was an end of harvest celebration like many people had for centuries. The Pilgrims were thankful for the food, but they were even more thankful just for their survival. Since they had landed in what we know now as Massachusetts a year earlier, almost 50% of them had died due to the harsh climate or starvation, and the nearby Native Americans helped them grow the little food that they had. Now, this was not an annual Thanksgiving holiday. In fact, there was no such thing for a couple of more centuries. On October 3rd, 1789, the brand new president, George Washington, issued a Thanksgiving proclamation marking the first national celebration. But it was only for that year, not for all subsequent years. He wrote that Thursday, the 26th of November that year, would be a time, quote, when we may all unite in giving that great and glorious being our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country in becoming a nation. It was not until 1863, at the height of the Civil War, that Abraham Lincoln established Thanksgiving to be a national holiday to be celebrated then on the last Thursday of every November. This was in response to the efforts of Sarah Hale, the author of Mary Had a Little Lamb, and the one who had written and worked for 36 years to try to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. This rightfully earned her the title, the Mother of Thanksgiving, Sarah Hale. During the Civil War seems to be an unusual time to celebrate Thanksgiving, right in the middle of the Civil War. But here's part of what Lincoln's proclamation said. Quote, in the midst of a Civil War of unequaled magnitude, we have still experienced so many blessings from the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. Now, if there was something to be thankful for in 1863 in the middle of the Civil War, certainly there's much for us to be thankful for in 2025. Today, I want you to know that even you, in whatever your situation is right now, you can be thankful, no matter what your anxiety might be. I went through the Bible and picked out seven, what I think might be our seven greatest anxieties, and God has the answer for each one of them. There's a Bible verse to go for each one. First, when I'm alone, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When I am alone, do you feel alone? It's amazing how I can be surrounded by people and still feel alone. Some of you feel this way because you've lost someone very special in your life. Some of you feel alone because no one else really thinks you're special. Or at least that's what you think. Whatever the reason, listen to a promise from Almighty God, first given to God's people Israel. Notice how it begins. Do not fear. There's so many things that we fear. God's message is, without God, fear. With God, no fear. So when I am alone. Second anxiety is when I am weak. 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Lord said to me, to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. When I am weak. This promise was given to Paul when he asked God over and over to remove the thorn in his flesh, probably some source of suffering to him. God says to him, so you think you're weak? That's the very time when my strength will shine the brightest in you. My strength doesn't shine very brightly in the people who think they've got it made. Isn't that true for us? You think about times in your own life when you were the weakest. Maybe you were completely broken. And yet, those are the very times that God's strength shone the brightest. When is it in your life? What is it right now that makes you feel weak and inadequate? It may not be pleasant. It may be the one thing you wish the most that God would change about your life, just like Paul. But it's also the very thing that can be the greatest source of God's grace in your life. When I am weak, my grace is sufficient for you, the Lord says. Third anxiety, when I have a decision to make, that brings anxiety into your life. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do you have any important decisions to make in your life about school, college, job, marriage, or something else that may not seem important to others, but that's really important to you? God promises to guide you. Now, that doesn't mean that an answer will drop out of the sky. I know that God has guided me more through the circumstances of life than through some burning bush experience. The most important thing sometimes is not the answer to the question I'm asking as much as it is staying in conversation and relationship with God. But if you have a decision to make and that's bringing anxiety into your heart, remember God's promise. I will instruct you. I will teach you the way you should go. Fourth anxiety, when I have enemies. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? This promise reminds me of a special worship service that we had at the church that I served in Durham. We had a guest evangelist. It came time for prayer in the service, and he said that one of the greatest things the church can do is to lift its pastors up in prayer. So to illustrate that, he called two groups forward and had each group literally lift the pastor and me, the associate pastor, separately, lift us up in the air. Before I got lifted up, I moved in front of the group that was going to do the lifting, and I turned around to see who was in that group. Sure enough, there was in that group the man who was the largest, tallest, strongest man in the whole church. I turned to him and said, I'm so glad to have you in my group. We feel better when we've got someone strong on our side. Now, if that's true with human beings, how much more is it true in the spiritual battles of life? Hear this verse again. If God is for us, who can be against us? What's the answer? No one, because no one is greater than God. No one is equal to God. So if God is on our side and someone else is against us, God is greater. Romans 8:31. Then the fifth anxiety, when I am sick. Maybe I'm talking to someone right now who is going through some real difficult physical issues. You feel weak. You want to feel strong again. What does the Bible say? Romans 5:3-5. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Some of you maybe are not sick today, but you're worried about getting sick, or you're worried about falling and breaking a bone, or having cancer, or getting sick and not being able to work or take care of your children. Now, God's health care plan doesn't include a guarantee that faith will keep us well. But God does promise that if we do face suffering or sickness, it will not rob us of everything good in our lives. If we have faith in God's love being poured out abundantly in our hearts, then suffering will produce perseverance, and perseverance in turn will produce character, and character will produce hope. Now, hope is not a mere wishing that things will one day get better. Sometimes we use the word that way, but in the New Testament, that's not the way it's used. It is a knowing by faith that what we have now is not the end of the story, and a full and complete confidence that the good that we have now is just a small down payment on all the good yet to come from God. So if you are sick today or you're worried about getting sick, then claim these promises. And remember, suffering in the Christian life, when we respond in faith, suffering produces perseverance, then character, and then hope. Now, I've said many times, I have learned lessons from sickness that I would not have learned any other way in my life. But I want to learn them a different way. That's not the way I want to learn those lessons. And yet, that's the way life is, and that's the way the Christian life is. All right? Sixth anxiety, when I am old. And if you don't consider yourself old today, hang on, it's coming. Or maybe you'll never consider yourself old. Maybe you'll never give in to the reality of what getting old means. But if you are, look at Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, the Lord says, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Yes, God knows all about the aging process and what it does to us. Yes, it produces gray hairs, if left uncolored, and maybe even lost hairs. But the Lord says, don't worry about that. Yes, aging will bring great changes into your life, some not always welcome. But I made you. Isaiah 46:4. So he talks about the past. In the past, I made you. And then the present. And I am sustaining you. I'm giving you each day exactly what you need. And then the future. And I will carry you. When you feel like you can no longer carry yourself, I will carry you. So God has you covered, past, present, and future. And then the seventh anxiety, when I am dying. Romans 14:7-8. For we do not live to ourselves alone, and we do not die to ourselves alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And this is not something we always think about. Some of us think about it, but then don't talk about it. We don't articulate it to anyone else. I remember visiting with one of the members of my church who was much older than the average, and she began talking with me about how she wanted things done for her funeral. I told her that I didn't want to think about that, but that it was okay for us to talk about it because it really was inevitable. Sometimes we act like it's not going to happen, or if we talk about it, it'll make it happen sooner, but it is one of the realities of life. And so it's worth talking about. I think there are a number of loved ones who have passed away that you think about, oh, I wish I had said this to them. I wish I'd had this conversation with them. I'd give anything to be able to talk with them today. Well, if you have a loved one who's alive, go ahead and have some of those conversations. They're important. God's promise is clear. We are connected in the body of Christ. We don't live or die alone. And whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Some people have great fear of death and maybe the great fear of dying alone. Well, I can't promise you how things are going to happen and where your family will be or your friends, but I can promise you this, you will not die alone. As a Christian, as one who has faith in Christ, the Lord will be with you. You will die unto the Lord, and the Lord will be with you and will bring you safely into His presence. Now, I want to say a word about one of my favorite Thanksgiving hymns. Sometimes we think Christian songs about joy and Thanksgiving were written by people driving luxury cars on their way back from a world cruise or something like that. Not so. Some think the worst years ever in Europe were the 30 Years' War from 1618 to 1648. It was a time of famine, economic depression, and terrible pandemics, a time of war and the deaths of tens of thousands of people. In 1636, during the worst of these times, a godly pastor named Martin Rinkert tried to live faithfully for God. In 1 year, stop and think about this, in 1 year, he conducted 5,000 funerals for the people of his parish, averaging almost 14 funerals per day. That blows my mind. I can't even wrap my mind around what that would mean for him and what it meant for his congregation. In the midst of that misery, he wrote a table grace for his young children that later became a well-known hymn. You probably know it. The words go like this. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom His world rejoices. I love those words and I love that hymn, but when I think about the situation in which he wrote it, it's just beyond me how he could write those words at that time. In the worst of circumstances, in the greatest of anxieties, God's promises stood firm and tall. Now, I don't know your situation. As you get to Thanksgiving, maybe you're dreading it because someone will be missing from the table this year, or maybe you won't be able to be with people that love you and celebrate Thanksgiving, and you feel maybe all alone, or you feel some other anxiety in your life. I understand that we're human, and these circumstances of our lives affect us. But I want you to know that even if off the top of your head right now you say, I don't think I have anything to be thankful for this year, or certainly not like it was in past years, think about these seven great anxieties and how God has an answer for you for every one of them. When I am alone, when I am weak, when I have a decision to make, when I have enemies, when I'm sick, when I'm old, when I'm dying, God has the answer for all your anxieties. So I want to encourage you to receive these messages from God and find a way this year to have a very happy Thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. His faithfulness endures forever.